Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's cast, Swimming Upstream, Chapter 1, Your Boss's Calendar, Part 1 of 2.
The questions this cast answers are, how can I learn what my boss's priorities are? How can I have a better relationship with my boss? How can I prepare for more responsibility?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Before we get started, did y'all know that we have got a Manager Tools license containing all of the tools to help you be a better people leader? If you'd like to learn more about the Manager Tools license, check us out online at manager-tools.com. Now, on to the show. Too many professionals only pay attention to the priorities in their own calendar, and too many managers only pay attention to their calendars and the calendars of their directs. But if you want to grow your responsibilities and therefore grow your career, you've really got to think outside of yourself and your own team. And that starts with thinking about your boss, your link to the remainder of the organization.
Yeah, part of professional development is swimming upstream, which has gotten even more important in light of the recent executive speaker series talk I gave about the federalization of power and the hollowing out of the middle ranks of organizations. And swimming upstream means learning what's happening both above and outside of your organization, as well as the future, what's coming in the future. Basically, if you're standing in a stream, the water upstream from you eventually becomes the water you're standing in. And the more you can know about what's happening upstream, the less you'll feel like you're always on your back foot. Things like, what are the causes of your team's work? What value do your team's work provide for the rest of the organization? How do they value it? What do they like and what do they not like? Where does the work come from? Some people just think it comes from their boss and they don't understand all the various people who have influences on their boss. Who are the drivers of the work that you're responsible for? Sometimes you're asking your boss and she doesn't know. What do those who consume your team's output think about that work? And what would they have different? Just like you would if you were running a company, if your team was a company, what do customers think? And then again, what are their internal and external customers thinking about relative to their inputs and their customers? I know many, many senior executives who think not just about their customers, but about their customers' customers. Because again, that's further upstream.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So to get us started off, folks, we've spent 20 years teaching the basics of managing other people here at Manager Tools. Now, with the advent of executive tools, we're going to start letting some of our executive recommendations leak into what is our regular Manager Tools content. Now, the idea of this is that if you know some simple basics about executive life, you can become a better manager. And that is true, even if you don't aspire to executive life yourself.
Right.
But it's also good because if you're a good manager and you've never even considered or thought about becoming an executive, we might encourage you to reconsider the limitation you're placing on your career. Folks, the thing is, because great managers are much more likely to become great executives than poor managers who simply aspire to more power, money, and control.
Yeah. In fact, there was a recent study released, I think in Harvard Business Review, saying that they did an analysis of people's ambition and compared it to their performance. And there was no correlation at all, zero, between ambition and success at higher levels. So don't worry that if you don't have that ambition, that therefore you're shut out from it. You don't have to have the ambition to be useful at higher levels. And we want good ethical managers to become good ethical executives.
Yeah, we do. Because we want good ethical executives. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact is, once you've mastered the basics of management, which if you've been listening to Manager Tools for the past 20 years, we think you probably have if you've put it into action, you've really only started on the total journey you're on towards professional mastery. Becoming a competent manager in today's world is a bit like getting a black belt in the martial arts. Most of us who are not martial arts people think that black belt is the highest level. And it is, although there are levels within that level, of course, but any martial artist will tell you at the black belt level, is where the real learning actually begins. Now you have a fundamental understanding of what's going on and you have intuition. You develop intuition about what's really happening at higher levels. And that's when you really start to deepen and broaden your understanding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So folks, our swimming upstream guidance is going to address those areas where managers can become more effective now by learning what happens outside their specific part of the organization. And in this guidance, we're going to share with you some just basic things that you can do right away to start swimming upstream into the world of the executives above you. It's going to make you more aware of the forces that work on you and your team. And by doing so, you're going to become better able to predict and respond to those forces. Instead of feeling like you're being pushed around by them, you'll have some sort of ability to predict what's happening and when it's happening. And you'll become more effective now. And if you become an executive, then you're going to be more effective then as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story about this that I actually was reminded of at my parents' funeral about a year ago. I was talking to my brothers and I made a comment that when I was probably 35 years old, I had a realization. I remembered as a child that once a month, my parents would sit down one evening after dinner. They would sit down at our kitchen table where we ate all of our meals and they would kind of have a low-grade argument over the checkbook. And what they were doing was balancing their checkbook. Now, I don't know about everybody else, but my experience of childhood was not really about months. It was about the school year. It was about summer vacation, certainly, and Christmas vacation, Easter break, and so on. And it was about the baseball schedule, you know, the baseball season and the football season.
Yeah, exactly. What season is it? What am I playing right now?
Yeah, what am I playing right now? Right? And I only remembered it that they did that periodically, but I didn't know how often it happened. And my brother said, yeah, kind of that was true for me as well. Now, Walt, our oldest brother, who's really smart, he figured it out that they were doing it monthly because once you become an adult and you start having monthly, you get monthly bills from the bank, you have to balance your checkbook, of course. And this back when they had one of those checkbooks that had a register in it. So you would write the check and then to the left, you'd put the amount and who it was to and so on. And they'd balance the checkbook to make sure the checkbook was the right amount. We do it on apps nowadays. It's all done magically, automatically for you. But nevertheless, I only understood it as periodically because my calendar, my mental calendar wasn't calibrated to months yet. And I was having a discussion with shortly thereafter with a manager. And I was saying, well, hey, you should be busy in the next couple of weeks. He says, yeah, it's actually started getting real busy. And he said, you know, I kind of wondered why. Now, this manager was in the federal government. And I said, dude, it's the end of the fiscal year, right? There's going to be all kinds of things that come out, spending issues and all kinds of other stuff. And he said, you know, I've been here for 3 years, and I guess I never really thought about the fiscal year ending in September for the federal government in the U.S. anyway. And he suddenly realized that he needed to have a different approach to his calendar.
In September,
because there were going to be FY issues that come up. I then had another conversation a few months later with another manager. And I said to her, I said, you know, you guys should be really busy right now in the particular area she was in. And she said, yeah, we are. I said, yeah, it's the end of the quarter. And we had a similar discussion. Mm-hmm. And her work, day to day, week to week, quarters didn't really matter. But she worked at a publicly funded company, a publicly traded company, which has to report, doesn't have to, but generally they do report earnings quarterly. And there are all kinds of last minute changes. The sales force is encouraged to go out and make some sales that can be booked, those kind of things. And I said, you should have those kind of things on your calendar to be aware of that. You're going to get more short notice taskings for your boss to prepare a report, a spreadsheet, or whatever. And then I realized, wow, there are a lot of people that, I mean, we're teaching people how to manage their team, but they're being impacted by forces above them and outside of their team. And we need to start talking about that. So that was the genesis last year, and we're finally getting around to starting a series that will periodically come out talking about how to swim upstream.
Yeah. I like it. Okay, so folks, we're going to cover my outline now. The first thing we're going to do is know your boss's calendar, then learn about the executive systems that run your organization, followed by modifying your own calendar to get in front of the forces that affect you. So let's start with know your boss's calendar. Folks, we hear this all the time. I mean, we're training managers every week. And they're always telling us how they feel so reactive. The analogy I sometimes use is, do you feel like you're being drawn and quartered every day? Do you feel like you're caught on fire? And all the managers are like, yeah, my legs were pulled off just yesterday.
Yeah.
The thing is, within organizations, there's always these new things that are coming down in organizational cascades that are surprises.
Yep.
There are always new initiatives, changes to existing ones that must be managed today. And we end up feeling most days like we're barely keeping up, and some other days like we know we're not keeping up. Exactly. Yeah. We come to work with these ideas about what we're going to get done, and only to leave at night knowing that we didn't get any of the things that we thought we'd get done today done, and days where we thought we'd get ahead and we end the day even further behind than we started.
Yeah. I actually tell managers the classic mistake of younger or inexperienced managers is they come to work with three or four things they actually have to get done. Then the first thing they do is go to email.
Yep.
And then they allow their email inbox, some of which those people don't have the right to task them, that they then create deliverables out of that, oftentimes that are simple to do, but eat up time during the day. And then they think, okay, I had three or four things I was going to get to today. I was really excited about getting to them, moving things forward. I can't do it. And then I get an extra meeting scheduled. And then this other meeting gets moved. And then I got to go to lunch. And then I got this other thing. And so they start telling themselves by 10 or 11, 12 in the morning, they say, I'll do that at the end of the day.
Yeah.
When everybody goes home. I'll do it starting at 4 o'clock when things quiet down around here. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, you're tired. You're mentally tired. Your ego strength. Again, I nominate ego strength as the dumbest word in the modern business lexicon, but it is actually a thing. Ego strength is your ability to make decisions. And basically, the way the mind works and the brain works is when you, the more decisions you make, the less ego strength you have for making more decisions, which is why so many chief executives now say, I make all my big decisions before noon.
Yeah.
Because I want to be at my best. And I try to make as few decisions as I can possibly make. Usually that means making bigger ones or more profound ones. And the first thing you've got to do is stop thinking you're going to get your stuff done at the end of the day. You have to do your stuff first before you even look at email. And if you have urgent emails that you think you have to get to, just remember whoever sent you that urgent email is stupid because there's no such thing as an urgent email. I remember the first time I got one, I thought, how is this possible? I just got off a plane and, you know, how can it be urgent? I haven't been able to see my mail. This is 35 years ago. I'm supposed to see my mail. We didn't have Wi-Fi back then. But look, folks, you're always going to feel behind and reactive if you can't learn enough to see what's happening up there before it happens to you down here. And up there is really where future stuff is going to be made current to you at the down here level. And that's what swimming upstream is designed to address.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And folks, the first place to look for clues about these forces that are whipsawing you day to day is your boss's calendar. That's the first place to look. And we're not talking about looking at it every day when you're not talking about looking at it every day and examining their meetings.
Yeah, when you come in. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, we're not talking about go through your day-to-day life with your calendar pulled up and also their calendar pulled up. So at any given minute, you know exactly where they are at all times.
No,
you won't be able to read your calendar. There'll be too many things. So no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about looking for those regular occurrences, those meetings that are occurring, let's say, on your boss's calendar between themselves and people at their level or higher. Meetings that are occurring between themselves with internal or external, for that matter, customers. And these things are the kinds of things that will consume your team's work and outputs. right? If your boss is having a meeting with their boss, chances are you and your team are going to be tasked with something. Knowing that exists is useful to you and your team.
Yeah. We want to understand their cadence.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes looking at months worth of their calendar. Now, look, guys, full disclosure, the vast majority of bosses share their calendars completely, as should you. We have a Manager Tools podcast about that from many years ago, but some don't. Okay. They're idiots. Those that don't probably aren't worth working for. Okay. And we're serious about that. Think about looking for a different boss. No, look, maybe it's an oversight, but usually it isn't. It's a power move and it's a dumb one. I don't know how many words I can say other than dumb, idiot, and stupid. If you have a good enough relationship with your boss and they're not sharing it with you now, please ask them to share it. You could say, boss, it's probably an oversight, but I can't see your calendar. Would you mind sharing it with me? If you don't have a great relationship with them, but they have an admin, ask the admin to ask the boss mm-hmm. if it would be okay to share. You may not realize this, but in the days before online calendars, many more bosses had assistants to help them manage specifically their calendar. So be thankful that it's possible for them to be shared now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And folks, if they do share their calendar with you, make it one of the calendars that, again, you can toggle off and on your calendar. And virtually all calendar management software allows for this ability to host multiple calendars and not all are visible concurrently at all times. And it might make it harder for you to see your calendar easily at times, but it's worth it to know what meeting your boss is coming in and out of.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I saw a guy do. This has been a couple of years ago. Of course, he had his calendar on his phone, but what he did was he took a screenshot of his boss's calendar every morning, and it was a favorited picture. He would throw away the old ones, but instead of cluttering up his calendar app with two sets of calendar items, different colors, obviously, he just had an image. He put a link to it on his phone. I don't know how he did it. So he could just tap on that and go right to his boss's calendar, and then it would disappear when he was looking at his calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you'll pardon my interruption, I just want to jump in here a little bit and talk to you about our group virtual training for organizations who have a workforce that's spread out all over the US or even all over the globe. Virtual training over Zoom is a great option for your professionals to learn and practice our guidance. We offer group training for all of our core venues, the Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, and Effective Hiring Manager. And we action all of the admin, all of the invites, all of the calendaring, and of course, all of the presentations. Don't let perfection be the enemy of good enough. You can still get your workforce trained by the same people that would come on site, and you can do it all together. Contact Maggie by emailing customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn more. Now, back to the show.
Now, here's the thing, guys. Making a study of your boss's calendar is super easy. And we know almost no one who does this. In fact, this is one of those cases where when I was a manager and then an executive, we didn't have shared online calendars. And you would actually find people in people's offices flipping through their calendar, trying to figure out
where are they going to be?
They're looking over their shoulder like, I don't want the boss to come in. So here's how you do it. First, you print out, or you can print it to a PDF file if you prefer, a little better for the environment, the next 20 to 50 work days of your boss's daily calendar.
Mm-hmm. Folks, think one day per page.
Yes. Don't think you're going to save by turning it landscape and do 5 pages, because that makes each day almost impossible to read. You won't be able to tell. It'll either be too small a print it'll be a lot of ellipses. They just mm-hmm. won't,
exactly.
won't be able to see it. And now this view is very granular. But it's not the only view we're going to take a picture of. For now, we're just going to start with daily stuff. And the idea is to go through it.
Exactly. And folks, in this daily calendar review, if you will, we're going to be looking for 3 main things. The first thing we're going to look at is those recurring meetings. Then we're going to look at meetings that occur with people above your boss's level.
Some of which will be the same.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
And then meetings that occur with internal or external customers. that are consuming your team's work and inputs. And while you got these calendars out, while you're looking at them, you want to make notes of the frequency of those recurring meetings. And you should be able to tell the ones that are most likely to matter. From the title, you should be able to tell generally. For example, your boss might be on a special project team as a function of their executive role that don't necessarily have much to do with your team and their work. You'll know at a glance, okay, well, this really doesn't kind of apply to us. So it'll stand out to you which ones are more important versus which ones are less important. You can look at the individuals who are invited. Sometimes the attendee list can give you some indicators about which are more important.
Yeah, exactly. And we say recurring meetings first because they're where you'll usually see systemic outcomes that regularly affect you and your team. So you need to know their frequency. Don't be afraid to ask your boss about outcomes coming out of those meetings. Changes in planning, changes in strategy, new timelines, new work coming out of there. Don't be afraid to ask about stuff you don't understand. I mentioned this in the executive speaker series call. There's an epidemic of professionals today not asking questions for fear of being thought of as unknowledgeable. But they're unknowledgeable because they don't ask. One of my best lifelong friends, I've known him longer than I've known Mike, is John Hoffman. And when you talk to John Hoffman, he says all the time, I don't know, I'll go ask. I don't know anything about that. We'll go find out. And it's so refreshing. People think that not asking shows confidence, when in fact, when people realize you don't ask and you don't know, they realize it's actually insecurity, not security, that causes you to do that.
Mm-hmm. And folks, listen, obviously, if your boss does one-on-ones with you, you can make that one of your questions. Anything come out of your weekly operations meeting with the VP?
Yeah.
And just ask, right? If something did, why wouldn't you want to know about it before your boss has time to sit down and send out an email to you and your peers about it in 1, 3, 5 days, right? Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to be the first person to know because you asked about it and now you have the inside track? And if you talk about it, you get to ask questions about it. Versus getting that email.
Starting a long email exchange back and forth.
Exactly.
I have a question about this and so on.
Yeah.
People start to hate it.
Or to Mark's previous point, it goes out to all your peer group and no one wants to ask any questions because you don't want to be the first guy to have asked questions about it. So then now nobody knows anything.
Right.
Other than what was told in that email. So yeah. Talk about
without context, probably. Yeah. In fact, oftentimes what I've noticed is when bosses go to meetings, they only say what they want done, but they provide no context.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have experts working for us that different context means different work product. And the boss is just saying, okay, what I want you to do, I went to a meeting, you need to do X. Hey, can you give me some context there, right? Again, if you're having a conversation, you can get more context. Regarding meetings or time your boss spends upwards and outwards, capture those on your calendar in a way that works for you. Again, be willing to ask about them and start paying attention to deliverables and delegations that come down to you afterwards so you'll be ready in the future. This is very straightforward stuff. This is not hard to do. And if you actually look at your boss's calendar every day, after having studied her calendar, you'll know, oh, that's the meeting where this happens.
Yeah.
And so I need to ask about this. Or, hey, that's the group that's changing reporting. I need to know whether or not there's any advance notice so I can get my folks working on the technical piece of that. So when it goes live, we'll be ready to solve it rather than, okay, we're going live. And there's 25, 30 hours of work to be done. And the boss is like, well, why is it not done? Well, you've been talking about it for 3 months in this reporting meeting you've been going to, trying to streamline things, but we didn't, you know, we're not in those meetings.
Right. The messages didn't get filtered down.
Yeah, it didn't come down.
Right. And it happens. And folks, one more thing to make a note of in this review is what we call days that are different. And it could be as simple as you've got a manager and they come in late on Thursdays because they're on a church board or they work with a local charity and that charity meets every Thursday at 8 o'clock in the morning. Or maybe there's a day of the week, like on Tuesdays, for example, that your boss goes home at 4 o'clock because that's their day to pick up the kids from school or from daycare.
Right.
So be careful. Some of those in different days, happen only bi-weekly or monthly. Not all of them are every Thursday or every Tuesday, right? Some of them are every second Thursday or the last Thursday of the month, whatever it may be. And maybe you put those things, those major recurrences into your calendar. So you give it like an acronym, like BCIL, and it stands for Boss Comes In Late, or BGHE, and it stands for Boss Goes Home Early.
Yeah, if the boss goes home every Tuesday at 3:30 to pick up her kids or his kids, BGHE on your calendar, maybe it's a personal calendar. The company still technically knows about it, but maybe you don't share it. It's a little clue to you.
Yeah.
Hey, my timeline for talking to the boss today, I don't want to forget it's Tuesday. If I want FaceTime with her, I got to go in there before 3:30 and probably even before 3:00.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And mark down things like vacation or when they're going to be taking a day off. And just as a general rule, folks, you shouldn't schedule your vacation when your boss is on their vacation or right before or right after without approval. But
right.
Why wouldn't you want to be the person that's asked to act in your boss's absence
yeah.
while they're on vacation? And you can't be that person if you're also on vacation.
You know, that brings up a point. I've noticed people saying, I can't believe my boss turned down my vacation. Look, the company has given you a certain amount of vacation and your manager manages it, but the manager gets to manage it relative to the inputs and outputs of the team and the workload. And the manager knows what's going on. And if the boss is gone, having his number two gone too is a really, really bad idea. Or in fact, if they're turning down vacation, you don't know why. Maybe it's not yours. Maybe it's your buddy's. You could say, go to the boss and say, hey, are we expecting an uptick in work process or,
yeah.
you know, throughput or whatever in first week in July. Yeah. And people get angry. Like, I can't believe he can turn. I'm going to go to HR and talk to them about my boss turning down vacation. And if you have good HR, and there is some good HR, not as much as we'd like, they'll tell you, no, that's how it works. You get granted vacation as part of your compensation and benefits, but your boss administers that. Your pay, your boss does not administer, mm-hmm. right? The company administers that, but your vacation, your boss gets to administer that. And it's not an appealable rule.
Well, I actually talked to the group I was training this week in our virtual effective manager conference. The things that we attribute to boss maliciousness, uh-huh. which can be explained by other perfectly reasonable reasons, is just astronomical. I mean, everyone immediately jumps to conclusions like, I can't yes. believe they turned down my vacation. Not thinking, maybe they turned it down because there's a big, huge new initiative, to your point,
right.
or there's this massive other thing, or just assume it's lack of communication about other things before you assume your boss is just trying
right.
to mess with you.
There is a famous law, and I'm forgetting the title of the law, and it's frustrating me. It's on the tip of my tongue, but it's basically, it's sort of like Occam's razor, but it's
yeah,
not. Occam's razor,
I know what you're talking about.
The simplest causes, it's probably the simplest thing that is, but it is never attribute to malice that which can be explained by stupidity.
Yeah.
Right? Don't assume people are intentionally,
yeah,
you just don't
they're
know.
Not.
They
they're
don't
probably
care.
Not.
But let's talk about if you're a manager and you're listening to this, gosh darn it, if you turn down somebody's vacation, explain why.
Yeah.
And if it's confidential, hopefully you're doing one-on-ones and you've built enough trust, say, look, all I can tell you is I don't recommend you do that. Okay. There's something coming. I'm not at liberty to say, I apologize for that. I know if I were on your side of this, I'd be frustrated. I just ask you to accept it on faith. Trust me right now. That is not a good time to be on vacation. Now, person's going to leave and go and say, there's going to be a layoff.
Right.
No, probably not. And if it's not a layoff, you'd say, I'm not talking about a layoff, dude. I just think you don't want to be gone
yeah.
during that time.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Another thing, we want to look for patterns in our boss's travel schedule, okay? Maybe he goes to corporate headquarters twice a year. Maybe he visits his three remote sites once each quarter, right? Certainly, if you have people in those locations, let your people know your boss is coming when you see it on the calendar 3 weeks from now. I recently spent an entire hour of one of my executive coaching clients disabusing him of his boss's guidance, which is the CEO is coming. There's nothing you need to do.
Oh, good one.
Now, he was smart. He knew he should probably do something. And that's part of the reason why he's I'm coaching him. But yeah, you got to let your people know. Tell them to be ready for a town hall meeting. Tell them to be ready for a skip level meeting, perhaps.
Right.
Have them be ready in some cases to brief the boss on what they're doing. Help them understand your boss's metrics and his hot button issues. You know, if you know your boss's DISC score and he's a high D, tell him, hey, look, you don't get to talk to him that often. This guy's a high D. If you let him talk to that analyst who is a high C and that guy starts droning on and on and on, the boss is not going to have a good memory of his time with our team in your location. So short, complete answers. And when he asks for questions, he means it. He will take questions and he's quite open about things and you have an opportunity to ask him. Now, look, don't ask him about some idiot in another division that got fired and made the news. That's not something he wants to talk about. It should be focused on what our group and what the larger group is doing. And if you want to ask about company plans or so on, that's okay. Keep in mind, he may not be at liberty to say, but those kind of things are okay. There are other bosses that you'll have to tell him, look, he holds it pretty close to the chest. You're welcome to ask questions, but don't be surprised if you don't get a great answer. That will keep them from going back and say, you know, I asked a question and I got nothing. Well, it's just because your boss who went down there or the executive went down there is kind of a jerk, doesn't know that when you're face-to-face with someone, you have a real opportunity to increase communication and you're showing the flag as well. And there are far too many executives who think they should go down, have a couple of meetings and leave, not say hello to people, not host a lunch, not walk around and say, hi, I'm here if you've got any questions or whatever. They don't realize that they represent the company a couple levels down and they should represent the company in a professional and friendly and cheerful and optimistic way.
And that's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week as we continue today's topic.
See you, folks.